Jane Hudson with the advocacy group Disability Rights Iowa says they weren't on the lookout for anything out of the ordinary when they visited the home last November.
Most of our monitoring visits are very routine, but here they were really stunned to find three girls who had been living in isolation cells and later they learned for months.
The investigators cited excessive and illegal use of restraints in seclusion. Now, officials with the Department of Human Services say new policies have resulted in a drop in both the seclusion and restraint of residents. But the DHS says it hasn't been easy, and some lawmakers worry the abuses could recur. Interim Superintendent Mark Day explains that the girls at the home, along with a handful of boys, are the toughest of all to work with, or they wouldn't end up in Toledo.
If you take every kid in the Iowa system and then take the most challenging, the most disruptive, the least amenable to treatment, with the most problems, the most issues that have to be resolved, we're looking at the most damaged, the most challenging 1% in the state of Iowa. That's the kids that we serve.
Many of them, Day says, are not judged delinquent by the courts. Instead, they've been removed from dysfunctional homes and put in foster care or other settings where things didn't work out. Day says staff overused seclusion and restraint in the past when kids were harming themselves and others. Now, through intensive training, they're learning other ways to talk the girls down. Republican State Senator Sandy Griner wonders if the troublemakers are now getting off too easy.
We've got a lot of state employees there that need to be protected. If we're no longer going to put them in isolation, what other methods of discipline are we using to demonstrate inappropriate behavior?
But officials say seclusion should be used to control residents, not punish them. Representatives of the advocacy group are continuing to monitor the home, and they say they're still getting reports from the residents of what they call excessive or illegal restraint. The acting superintendent, Mark Day, acknowledges that the staff is still relying on physically controlling the kids.
These people are working so diligently and with so much effort and focus and commitment to reduce restraints, and it's not being completely successful.
Day says for part of the time he's been in charge, the use of restraints went up. He says that happened once they were no longer isolating most residents.
So we still do have to restrain, and at a frequency greater than with which I'm comfortable. But it will get better.
Lawmakers say they'll be watching the work of a state task force the governor appointed to recommend changes at the home. Des Moines Democrat Janet Peterson says she wants more outside supervision beyond the agency which runs the home, namely the DHS.
I've said before, and I'll say it again, especially after I toured the facility last month, that our state can and must do better for our children.
DHS officials say they're open to outside supervision. Meanwhile, the acting superintendent told lawmakers he doesn't believe the aging facilities in Toledo are safe for the residents, even though they pass annual fire and safety inspections. That was news to Des Moines Democrat Matt McCoy.
Yes, it was the first time I've heard that. I made a note of that.
McCoy wants a new fire and safety audit of the buildings at the home, some of which date back to the 1920s. The governor's task force will hold three public hearings in the coming weeks, starting with the first hearing today in Toledo. At the State House, I'm Joyce Russell, Iowa Public Radio News.